Tune in to Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
Welcome to Truth Will Out Radio on Radio Stormer at thedailystormer.com. You will find our live stream in the sidebar of the Daily Stormer, and you will also find our chat room there, and you can subscribe to our podcasts, follow the feed, and generally find out more about our network that we have here and the programs that we provide for you. Okay, well today I'm joined as always by my co-host, Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. How are you doing on this fine day, Dennis?
I couldn't do it. I'm going to pretend that I hadn't heard you. I can't bring myself to it. No, I'm fine, especially after last week's carry-on, you know. But yeah, hopefully everybody can hear us this week.
Yeah, well, just for if people didn't hear last week's programme, we ended up having to call in by telephone just at the last minute, so it was all a bit of a rush, but today we're nicely prepared. We hooked up half an hour ago to check that the sound was okay, so hopefully people are hearing us all right. I've made a few adjustments to the stream as well, so hopefully that's not going to be so choppy anymore. And yeah, today, the subject of today, I think, is you've been working on chapter 11 of Communism by the Back Door, and this is to do with white genocide. Is that correct, Dennis?
Yeah, well, if everything goes to plan, I mean, sometimes I have done these things and I've been I've got stuck at a certain point and then I've moved it on to a different part later on. But certainly the way it's been going, yeah, and the more I've gone into it, the angrier I'm getting. I really am. This is really starting to upset me, because I can see exactly what they're doing, and it's traitorous and immoral and every other word I can think of. These people really need at some point retribution. I'm talking about the people who's allowing this black plague to invade Europe.
Oh yeah, it's infuriating to see. It really is. The way that it's portrayed on the television and on the news, that we're supposed to be feeling sorry for these people when they're invading us. I mean, it was just on Russia Today, the news this morning, they were saying that one of these reporters, one of these journalists, was saying that the few children that there are there, because there really aren't very many, but these invaders are grabbing the children, pulling them up to the front where the police are spraying the tear gas and the pepper spray, thrusting them in front of the tear gas and the pepper spray, and then dragging the children back and presenting them to journalists.
Yeah.
And this is what we're seeing on the news. You know, the reason why these kids have been sprayed in the face is because the invaders have been thrusting them forward into the spray themselves. The kids haven't wanted to go up there near the front, but they've been dragged there. That's how little these invading species care about their own. They have no concern for their own people. Why should we be concerned for them? They're not our responsibility.
Well, they've had wars in the past, I'm sure, in Africa and down in the Middle East, and obviously the surrounding countries obviously faced a refugee problem. But that's gone on throughout history. They certainly haven't turned around and said, oh, fine, we'll send you on to Europe now for a better life. I mean, when a country like Sweden and Germany, where the governments just turn around and say, yeah, come on over, anybody from Syria is welcome, there'll be no problem, you'll get a passport. Then every black in Senegal and Morocco and Tunisia and Libya and Sudan are all heading towards Europe claiming to be Syrian. And obviously, anybody with an ounce of common sense would have organised these things and made vetted everybody first and made sure that they were proper refugees. I'm not the artless person people may think, but what I'm trying to say is that they just haven't bothered. And in a country or a continent which is supposed to be in austerity, to allow nearly a million into Germany and Sweden, with all the problems that's had in the last couple of years, with all the immigration, just to turn around and say, yeah, we'll accept more, is, I just start greasing them lampposts. I really would.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is real serious treason against the nation. And as you say, we're supposed to be in austerity, so everything's being cut back. Our own people are not... some of us haven't got enough to pay for the food, haven't got enough to pay for the rent, especially the way that they're attacking the disabled people. You know, so many people have actually died. They've been declared fit for work and then died after being declared fit for work. And hundreds of them have died in the following weeks after being declared fit for work. So, you know, if we can't afford to pay for our own disabled people, our own people that have been injured after fighting in Afghanistan, you know, we've got lots of members of our forces that are now living homeless. I mean, they make up the majority of the British homeless people from the ex-forces. So if we can't afford to look after them, then how can we afford to look after all the flotsam and jetsam from the third world? And it's not that they are fleeing war, because if they were fleeing war, they would stop at the nearest safe country. And the, you know, this country, Turkey, that's safe. We go there on holiday. You know, I mean, they shouldn't even get as far as Greece, let alone be hammering at the gates of Hungary to be let in. And
I was going to say, what the press conveniently forgets to mention is the fact that the surrounding countries of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait and Israel refused to take them. And by refusing to take them, nothing said. You know, I mean, you know, these are countries where they could easily, rich enough to put them to one side, you know, in camps and was over. I'm quite sure Saudi Arabia and Kuwait have enough money. But no, they just closed the gates, nothing said. And yet Hungary, who finally closed the gates after being overpowered with so many turning up, have been chastised as evil and the usual name calling Nazis.
And the thing is, all they're doing is defending their borders. And that's what it is. This is a mass invasion. You've got thousands and thousands of these people hammering at the gates, breaking in across the border, thousands of them every day. And that is a proper invasion. That's not people seeking asylum. This is just a wave, a flood of people. I mean, to me, it's like the flood that's coming from the serpent's mouth. Yeah, locusts, a black plague. You know, they've just come to take. That's all it is that they've come to take. We had, if you look at National Socialism, this is what we were talking about before we started the program. All the concern they had was that they had degenerates among their own nation, and they had people with genetic diseases, alcoholics, drug users, and they didn't want them to breed. They didn't want there to be more of these people breeding, of the incompetent people. They wanted to improve their nation. Whereas what we're putting up with is far worse than that. I mean, these are people that come from different races entirely that are filling up our nations and that we're being encouraged to breed with. And you never see a white woman on the television anymore unless she's with a Pakistani or a Negro. Yeah. You look at the soap operas, they're just full of race mixing. Every advert has race mixing on there, or homosexuals. And this is what's being pushed on us, is this idea that it's a good idea to blend ourselves out and that we should be breeding with these people when they come over. Never mind the fact that their rate of rape that they commit is incredible. And you look at Rotherham, you've got one white girl raped for every four Pakistanis there. So every four Pakistanis has raped a white girl. And that's just incredible when you think of it like that.
Same in Sweden. I think it's got like 1,000% rape since these migrants started a few years ago. So we're a doubt. It's, you know, we had a problem to start with, but to let more in is just, well, to be honest, let's face it, after World War II, the agenda was set. As I've always said, communism won that war, and every agenda since has been a communist agenda. And even in Britain in 1948, you know, they started all the Asians and Jamaicans coming over to this country. Australia was a little bit different because they only accepted white Europeans for some stage, and that's why many from the Baltics emigrated down there. Remember when you could go for a tenner? I don't know if you can remember or not, Sven, but at one point you could just get a one-way ticket for a tenner, which many people in Britain did do. But now Australia is also facing the same problem as the rest of all the white countries. which is an outright genocide of the white race. They want to eliminate the white race.
Well, it's definitely the correct term for it, white genocide. I mean, we're being displaced in our own nations. Conditions are made such that we're having to move, and it's being encouraged that our very ethnicity and genes become wiped out and replaced with other ethnicities and other genes. So we've got, it's a two-pronged attack, really. You've got the people that are being brought in legally, that are because Labour Party went out and they said, we're going to go out and we're going to bring in so many of these different races that we're going to change the face of the country, and we are going to rub the right's nose in it, and the right-wing party will never be able to get voted into power again. So they deliberately set out to do this. And then at the other end of the scale, you've then got, because of this Human Rights Act, which is just, you know, it's just a free ticket basically for anyone from anywhere to invade Europe and demand benefits. That's all it is. It means that these creatures that have never managed to set up a functioning society, civilized society of their own, can then invade Europe and demand to have everything handed to them on a plate. And it really is a genocidal project, a genocidal plan against us.
Yeah, well, you say it's a two-pronged attack. I say it's a third. There's a third attack as well. You know, when you've got the likes of Bruce Jenner being shoved down your throat, and this gender situation, what's happening at the moment, you know, that's another attack on the family and the white race. It really is full on at the moment. And like I said, I'm pretty angry about it all, because for years, it, you know, they did it stealth like. Don't get me wrong, that's, you know, that's not exactly, you know, ideal. But for stealth like, you know, for they did it for a reason, because they didn't want to, you know, awaken the public. But now, after all the arrogance of the previous years, you know, and it's obvious what they were doing to a lot of people. This is just more arrogance, where they're just allowing a disease into Europe, and that is criminal. It really is criminal.
Well, I can really understand you when you say about this fury. I mean, I just felt it just recently this week. I was shown a picture of a white girl with a Negro. And I thought, well, look, if you saw the amount of crime that I see these Negroes commit every day on white girls, white children, where they commit these horrific acts on them, 12 times more likely to murder a white girl than a white man would be likely to murder his girlfriend, then you wouldn't allow these children anywhere near them. You know, it's like handing them a poisonous snake to play with. It really is that dangerous, and it's not a good thing to be doing at all. It's a dreadful thing. It's putting your own children at risk, at serious risk of being attacked. And these white women that go with them, they're usually extremely liberal, and they hate their own race. They think that they're being racist by not going out with these Negroes, and this is what will happen to them once they've gone with one of these Negroes. He's not going to let go. You know, just the way they are. They'll spoil. You know, if the white woman tries to split up with the Negro, then the Negro will spoil the white woman so that no one else can have her.
And this goes, that's happened recently with acid attacks, hasn't it? I've heard about it. Yeah.
This goes back through their tribal history. You can look at their tribal history, and it's just an accepted thing that that's what they do. If their woman goes off with somebody else, then they'll spoil the woman. If they can't have her, nobody can. This is the way that they think. You know, they are completely different to us, a completely different subspecies with a completely different character. They look different, and they are different. Now, form always follows function. Form and function are interconnected, always interconnected. So how we can look at them and think that they have the same function as us, I don't know, because it just seems obvious to me that they would have a different function because they have a different form, an obviously different form.
Well, there's a line in the documentary I'm doing, working on this week, it's part 11, and it says, this is obviously an agenda. It can't be accidental, because there's no way that you can get rid of the Chinese nation accidentally. It's just impossible. And it's the same with the white countries. This is planned. It has to be planned. And these people who were, I think we have a good idea who were responsible, especially if you've followed the documentary Adolf Hitler, the greatest story ever told. The victors of World War II have ruled this planet since. You know, they don't get voted out. These people only get in power through wars, and they'll only leave through war. And these people have had this agenda now for the last 60, 70 years. And it must be getting to a point now where, well, I read somewhere that, you know, that they were feeling that they were getting behind in things. And so, lo and behold, not two or three weeks ago, I've heard one or two politicians saying that this multicultural thing hasn't worked in various countries. Suddenly all the doors are open and they're all flooding in. So it's like, you know, someone's given the nod. And all these wars down in the Middle East obviously benefit Israel to have all these Arab countries all in the state they are. And it's a two-pronged thing because now they can shove all the refugees, not into Israel, not into Saudi Arabia or Kuwait, who were friendly countries to this New World Order, but into Europe to wipe out what is literally the white race.
Well, this is a really crazy thing. I mean, this uprising...
Well, the psychopaths.
This uprising started in Syria, and straight away we weren't on the side of Syria. We were saying, well, Bashar Assad has to go. We need to be going over there and attacking them. We need to fund.
It's definitely Libya, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Libya, you know, that Arab Spring thing, that got hijacked, and NATO went in there and on the pretense of protecting civilians and bombed Gaddafi's palace.
Yeah, so you can say that the damage that was done to Libya was caused by us going in there and bombing them. We wanted to do the same in Syria. We funded these armed gangs, terrorists, to go in there and attack Syria. So the people from Libya and Syria they're not going to be best pleased with the people from Europe, because they're going to see the people from Europe as the ones that are attacking them. They're on the other side of the war. So how can we then... be, you know, how can our leaders then turn around to us and say, well, we should be accepting these people into Europe? I mean, that's like attacking somebody and then saying, well, here's the key to the gates, let yourself in and attack us back. It makes no sense, does it?
They talk about democracy and, you know, how they spread it around the world. I'm just wondering how many people out there today go and book a holiday in Libya.
Well, I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody who's going to be going over there to Libya. Gaddafi had a good system there. He really did have a good system, and the people were well looked after. They had they were paid to go to university. They had a health service. They had housing. Yeah. They had enough money to buy cars. They got a $50,000 gift when they got married. And you look at the place now, and it's just absolutely ruined. It's completely destroyed.
Which is what I predicted at the time, and others, of course, you know, who can see these things. Syria would be the same. I mean, although it is in a mess at the moment, it's still in the middle of a civil war, but Syria, I believe, would have fallen by now if Putin hadn't stepped in. And I say he's put troops on the ground as well to fight ISIS. And let's face it, America, the ones who formed ISIS. You've got Kerry, who gave a speech at the UN and admitted it, and you've got Obama admitting it, although he later retracted. But we all know that ISIS were American-born. Because they couldn't get in officially, they tried it through the back door, and obviously, just like every other monster that they've created in Afghanistan and other places, they've turned on them. And so now, like, you know, the likes of McCain, who once admitted that he was in touch with him, when asked the question, now what shall we do with him, in a flash he'll just say kill him, because that's exactly what they mean to him. They're just tools, and like I said, we had Putin going in there and halting the thing a couple of years back. That would have fallen by now as well.
Well, Putin's the one that's stood against it right from the beginning. Yeah, you know, unfortunately, he wasn't actually in power when they attacked Gaddafi. He was the prime minister. He wasn't the president. It was Medvedev that was in power. And shortly after them assassinating Gaddafi, Putin was back in power again, took the reins again, and stood in the way of their plan to topple Syria. So if it wasn't for Putin, then Syria would have been taken, and they would have their new world order. They would be encircling Russia. As it is, you've still got countries that are against them, like Syria, North Korea, and Russia. I mean, Putin really, he has really stood up against what the New World Order stands for. And he has spoken up, he's spoken up about the white race and the birth rate, but he's also spoken out against the destruction of our traditions and our traditional Christian morality. I think after Russia had been under atheistic communism for so long, once that noose was pulled from around their necks, then there was like a big rise of traditional Christianity again. A fight back, a resistance against this atheistic communism, where they'd been held down by that for so long, by this Marxism for so long. There was a big movement to rebuild the churches and put the church back into a position of importance again. I think that's what happens if you try to wipe out God. White people are intimately connected with their God. We're intimately connected with Christianity. If you try to wipe it out, eventually there's going to be a backlash, and that's what happened, I think, with Russia. And that's why I think Putin sees that, and sees that as a good thing. He sees that as uniting the people, uniting the Russian people. They are united behind their Orthodox Christian faith, and that gives them a sense of community on a wider scale. And this is what we're now missing in Europe. We don't have this sense of community on a wider scale. I mean, this is what the guy from Hungary was speaking about the other day. We've lost our ability to resist the Islamification of our societies because we've lost our connection to Christianity.
Well, I came across a speech of Putin's in 2013, which I'd never heard, and I'm sure a lot of people out there had never heard as well. But just quote you a few lines from this speech when he's talking about the West. He says that we see that many in the West have taken the way where they deny or reject their own roots, including their Christian roots, which form the basis of Western civilization. In those countries, the moral basis and any traditional identity are being denied. Both national, religious, cultural, and even gender identities are being denied or revitalized. Their politics treats a family with the same, a family with many children, as equal to a homosexual partnership. In other words, faith in God is equal to faith in Satan. And this is Putin talking about the things that I'm quite sure Adolf Hitler would have spoken about his feelings on race and the moral standards by keeping it Christian. And mentions about Christian holidays and celebrations are abolished or neutrally renamed, probably meaning happy holidays, as if one were ashamed of those Christian holidays. With this method, one hides away the deeper moral value of those celebrations. And these countries try to force this model onto other countries globally. So he's obviously talking about the New World Order. And he's obviously going to be a problem because, not sure if I mentioned it last week or not, but a couple of weeks ago, there was a federal judge passed a law in America to allow the statue of Satan to be raised. In one of the states over there. Meanwhile, Russia's taken order of the largest statue of Christ in the world, a couple of metres taller than the one in Brazil. So there's a big, big difference here. And I said last week, everything that Putin's intending to do, I can't really argue about. He's putting boots on the ground with the Soviet troops in Syria. He's talking about Christianity, the family, and against the effects of homosexuality. He even talks in this speech about... I was against the promotion of paedophilia, which is prevalent in the Western states as well. So everything he's saying and everything he's doing, I can't really argue against. The only downside is I do believe that there will be a war in his lifetime, in our lifetime. But then again, as I said early on, these people in power in the West don't move by being voted out. They only move by wars. So in one way, I guess it has to happen.
Well, I think we're going to see almost like civil war. Only it's not civil war, because it's not going to be fighting amongst ourselves. It's going to be fighting with these other races that we've brought into our countries. So it's not going to be a civil war, but it's going to be a war within our nations and with people that have been given bits of paper telling them that they're British. You know, this is a crazy side of it. And it's interesting with Putin that he's doing all the right things. He's saying a lot of the right things. And at the same time, he claims that he needs to be against fascism and he's fighting against fascism and Nazis in the Ukraine. And where their whole national myth has been based upon the Second World War and the bad guys were the Nazis, anybody that they're actually pitted against, they have to call Nazis or fascists. That's just the terminology that they use. And yet, what he talks about and the policies that he puts in place lean more towards fascism and national socialism than they do the liberal so-called democracies that we have in the West. This is a bizarre thing. You always have to look at what somebody's actions are rather than what their words are. And if you look at his actions, then he's definitely a positive force in the world.
Well, I think he's our only force, to be honest. I mean, I know some people still doubt him. They see photographs of him stood with Jews and whatever. But if you notice, these are Russian Jews. And what he says, if you notice what he says, he more or less emphasises that, you know, as long as there's peace and they don't cause any trouble, then they're fine. And that was no different in Germany, you know. Until they started causing, you know, backstabbing, you know, in World War One and causing their own problems and whatever. That's only when the Germans clamped down on them. So, you know, I can't, this moment in time, criticise him. I really can't. I mean, I look at the rest of Europe and what's the comparison?
Well, yeah, the rest of Europe is looking a right mess. When you talk there about him being seen with these Jews, these Russian Jews, you would expect him to be seen with Russian Jews because there's a Jewish oblast as part of the Russian Federation. Birobidzhan is an entirely Jewish state, and they expect Putin to represent them on the world stage because they're a part of the Russian Federation. But unlike Israel, the state of Israel in Palestine, that is a nightmare to its neighbours and declares, we've just declared war on kids throwing stones, by the way, today in Israel. But unlike that, you never hear of Birobidzhan in the news. It doesn't cause any problems. So you are going to see him with Russian Jews because he is there to represent the Russian Jews. But we don't
hear
about
there's a big section in Iran as well, isn't there? You know, yeah. There's a big Jewish community there, and as long as they behave themselves, they're fine. You know, but you just can't take things at face value, because to me, actions and first the words and then the actions to back it up speak volumes.
Actions always speak louder than words, and this goes back years ago. They were saying this. They were saying this back in Anglo-Saxon times, and they were talking about how a Christian you needed to be seen by his actions rather than by his words. You know, and even all of this that we're seeing today, we have seen before, apart from the racial mixing bit, which I think we probably did see, which is why we lost Iraq and India and Asia and all these other areas that we had civilizations in Babylon, all these areas that were white, they ended up being blended out and mixed out, and that's why you've got Arabs and non-whites living there now. But even this feminist thing we had, this week I've been looking into some of the Welsh cultural history, and there's a legend of this saint, and he was a Saint Justinian. And he was a really strict ascetic, and him and his monks used to live on this island. And this lord and his wife were there, and the wife and the maids would perform lewd acts in front of the monk and his or the abbot and his monks, the saint, to try and distract him and to try and corrupt him and corrupt this guy. They perform all these lewd acts in front of him. And it just made me think, well, that's exactly the same as this Femen group that go flashing their tits at the priests. And these monks have to then cover them up. And in the end, he said, look, if you want me to be the abbot of this monastery, you're going to have to remove all the women from this island because they're just a distraction. But it just makes me think, you know, that there's nothing new under the sun. All these ways to attack us have been used before. And that's what the end result has been. It's been wiping out our old civilizations. That's why we don't have white people anymore in Babylon and Iraq and in Iran and in India. Maybe you've got a very few Brahmins in India. But this is a lesson that we should be looking at. We should be looking at the rest of the world and thinking, well, hang on a minute. All we've got is this little corner left here in Europe, and that is now being flooded with these other races, the same as what happened with these other countries. You can see that's what happened to the other countries because they live among ruins and the people are no longer white. You know, the evidence is staring us in the face.
I've got a website here I'd like people to take a look at, make their own judgments. But apparently there's some groups forming all over Europe. Well, one in Estonia, one in America, Britain, France, and these are people who want to protect the white race. They don't endorse violence as such, only if their relatives or family, close family, are in danger and there's no alternative. But it's a website that I think people should take a look at who are interested in this subject about the genocide and what's going on. And it is somebody trying to take some positive action. So if I can just read the website out, it's www. And I'll spell this for you because it's a weird name. N for Norman, UMACALCA, Numa Kala. I think that spells. .ro. So that's NUMACALCA.ro. And people can go on that website and take a look and figure things out for yourself.
Did you say that was something to do with Estonia? Did I hear correctly?
Estonia's formed a group. I've just been on the news section here, and an Estonian group has been formed, yeah.
Estonia are very conservative. If you look at the Baltic states, they have a good nationalist feeling there and nationalist unity between them as well. Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia, they have a nationalist bloc. Where they support each other's nationalist parties, and they've got the Conservative People's Party, I think, is in Parliament in Estonia, and in Latvia they've got the National Alliance, they've got members in government. So the Baltic states are standing up for the white European people, and they are saying that it's this is a racial thing. We don't want these other races in here, because if you have these other races in here, they run the risk of wiping out our own ethnicity. But you've also got Slovakia and Croatia and Hungary and Poland. You've got these other Eastern nations that were underneath the Marxist boot of tyranny for so many years. And they are the ones that are saying, look, our traditions are being trampled on. We don't want these other races in here. We don't want this homosexuality. We don't want gay pride. In the Eastern European countries, the gay pride marches have to be protected by police because they get manure thrown at them. And it would be the local bishop that pays the farmers to bring the manure. Now, how's that, for a difference to what we have in the West, where our priests are saying, oh, well, we should be allowing gay marriage, we should be allowing gay priests. The only people that are really standing up to it are the Eastern Europeans, standing up to it in a large, large way with a large movement behind it. That's what I see of it anyway.
Can I just say that in Britain, Britain is a prime example that I think probably the Muslims now probably outnumber most of the ethnic groups in England, are probably the largest of the lot, and in a couple of years probably be the largest community in Britain anyway. So these gay activists who are forever matching up on gay pride and what have you will be the first to feel that force if ever Sharia rule comes in. These things have a way of rebounding on them. And if, you know, at the moment, though, you know, I heard some gays chanting something like, we teach your children at school, and all this kind of carry on, and we're going to rule the world. Well, they're going to be in for a bitter pill to swallow, if, like I say, if the Muslims take over Britain.
Well, they throw them off the high-rise buildings, don't they? Sure. You know, that's what ISIS do with them, a death sentence for homosexuality. It's a death sentence for homosexuality in the Christian Bible as well. You know, that's the Christian law. You know, it should be a death sentence for that, really.
Yeah.
But you know, for some unknown reason, our established priests seem to think that the Word of God doesn't mean anything anymore. It doesn't count for anything anymore. They can change it. They know better.
That's word from the top, that, isn't it? That's got to be word from the top. And like I said, it's these people who are allowing all this to go on. It's been an agenda since after World War II. Demonised Adolf Hitler, so everybody hated him. And then they could start afresh and brainwash everybody into believing multiculturalism is right. And further on down the line, you know, now we've got the homosexual laws that, you know, accept that sodomy is fine. But there will be a backlash, you know, and I won't be one who's going to be showing any sympathy, because every time I switch on a soap, like EastEnders or Coronation Street, I get my tea spoiled.
I bet. Well, that is the thing, that, you know, they are going to be the first ones that will go. The Muslims will attack them. And yet they are the ones that are standing up and calling for more refugees and calling for more rights for Islam. I don't know what they think, whether they think that if these Muslims take power, that they'll reward the queers for standing up for them. But, you know, that is not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, just remind people that we do have a facility here. If anybody wants to call in, you can call in on radio.stormer. That's the Skype address, so you can call in over Skype if you've got anything you'd like to say to either me, myself, or Dennis, or anything you'd like to add to the conversation. Then just send a message to radio.stormer or give me a call on that Skype line. It is open to the public. Yeah, so get back to what we were talking about, Dennis. So the main theme of this chapter 11 then is going to be white genocide, and you've got a few bits to do with it with Putin. Are you going to be exposing how the Jews have added to this and advocated for it at all?
Yeah, I will be doing. Yeah, I'll probably have to run into another episode to get all that I wanted. I mean, I get quite a lot into 15 minutes as it is, but there's a lot going on here. I was just going to say some. It slipped my mind now for the moment, but for sure it'll be an interesting episode anyway, because too many people, probably myself included, have sat back for too long, you know, and not realised how serious it has been, and now this sudden surge of, as I call it, a black plague. It's certainly opened my eyes, and it's just horrendous. It really is.
Well, every time I see it, it reminds me of a verse from Revelations where it says that a flood came out from the serpent to wash away the woman. And this flood of waters is all different peoples, different nations, and different tongues. So it's basically saying, exactly, you know, the flood comes from Satan, and it's a flood of different peoples, and the purpose of the flood is to wash away the white race. I mean, that's my interpretation of it.
I wish it would have washed away the media, because the media is central to everything what is going on. In fact, what I did, I couldn't really find all that much on the normal channels of YouTube what had been uploaded. There wasn't really, you know, it doesn't really show that much of the negative side. It just shows, you know, the child on the beach and playing on people's heartstrings, etc. And generally, the sky, for instance, is, you know, leans on the side of, like, all the borders should be open, obviously, because Murdoch owns it. But what I did do is the old trick of when I heard about problems in Hungary and Serbia, I did the old trick of going to Google Translate, and I put in immigrant problem and stuff like that, translated it into Hungarian, And then I went back onto YouTube and put it in, and then that took me to the Hungarian part of YouTube. And suddenly, you know, I've got footage now of these blacks climbing through a 3-inch gap on a train, which is packed already with migrants, being shipped off to Macedonia somewhere. Footage which I wouldn't get here in this part of the world. And I did the same with Serbia and a couple of other places. So I've got some interesting footage which probably hasn't been shown on Sky at all, you know.
Well, one of the good things about the chat room is that we've got people from Hungary in there and people from Slovakia, so you do get to see some of these videos that you're not likely to come across just through Google. I mean, I've seen these migrants in the middle of Hungary, in the middle of Budapest, rioting, shouting F.U. Hungary, Allah Akbar. You know, they're all shouting about how Allah is great and how he's given them this country to invade, and how much they hate the Hungarians. It's a war cry. It's a battle cry that they're shouting as they come into these nations. It's not, you know, oh, thank you to what? Thank you, Germany, or thank you, Austria. It's their war cry. It's the battle cry of Allah is great. You know, he's given them this country to take over. This is why Qatar and Saudi Arabia and the other Arab states, this is why they're not taking them in, because they know that they're an expeditionary force. They're an invasive force. If they leave them to go into Europe, they're going to breed, and eventually they're going to outbreed the white Europeans, and they're going to take over the place. So they see it as just a Trojan horse. That's what it is. And you can see that it all goes back, you know, it all goes back to the Second World War and Hitler losing the Second World War.
The consequences, yeah.
Yeah, you can see it all as a direct consequence of that. So it's so important that people learn the truth about the Second World War. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, what's important about that? It happened 70 years ago. But everything that we see around us today is a direct result of that. And if you're missing that information, then you're just going to go round and round in circles like the conspiracy people do.
Alex Jones, yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to realise what it, you know, what actually caused it all and who is behind it. Now, when I was saying about the Jews and whether you're going to be talking about that side of it, the way that they've taken over the institutions and the universities, that's played a large part of it, because they've then fed the students with these lies about race, and they're telling them that all the races are the same, and they've also fed them the lies about the family, and you don't need to have a family, and homosexuality is fine. It all goes back to these Jews taking over the university posts and feeding us these lies.
There's two major forces in this New World Order, and you're bang on saying the Jews, but there's also the elites, who I feel are even more traitorous, because they're white anyway. And I've got I can't remember his name now, the general what retired from NATO a while back. He actually came out with a statement saying that Europe will no longer be a place of states where they're ethically pure. It's just going to be one mass of one race. So he's speaking on behalf of the elites, you know, the Rockefellers of this world and the Rothschilds. But the Jews, obviously, are involved as well. And, of course, they've intermarried as well with the elites. You've got Clinton's daughter marrying a Jew. You've got Lady Di's before her parents had married into a Jewish family, and Kate Middleton's family is also married into a Jewish line. So they are intermingling in breeding as well. But yeah, them are the two major powers, the elites, the white elites, as I should say, and then the Jews, which obviously include Israel.
Well, yeah, I'm just, I think I've got a caller here. I'm just going to connect that. See if I can connect that and leave it on mute.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll have to switch the radio off, Luke. You'll have to switch the radio off and listen to us over Skype. And I've got to leave it muted until I can see that your radio is switched off. See that he still has the radio on there. So we'll wait until that goes And then we've got a caller here. I think he wants to say something about Muslims and homosexuality. But I can't let him on the air until he switches the radio off. And it's still on. This seems to be a problem we have when people call in. Everyone that's called in so far has called in and then left the radio.
You haven't realised the
radio. Yeah, well, you know, hopefully they should be able to actually hear me and hear me saying, can you please switch the radio off? But for some reason, they just leave it playing all the time. Well, yeah, but this was the thing, Dennis, wasn't it? This was Coudenhove Kalergi. He said that this is the father of the European Union, that they still have the Coudenhove Kalergi Prize for services to the European Union. And he said that the race of the future, the European of the future, was going to be a blend between European and Negro. And he would look like the modern-day Egyptian Arabs. And the new aristocracy was going to be a Jewish aristocracy. Now, there's nothing to say that he was actually a Jew. He was of mixed race himself. I think I think his mother was Japanese or Chinese, and his father was Hungarian or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not definite on that. There's nothing to say that he was actually really a Jew, but he was very involved with the Jews. He obviously thought very highly of them. But this was the father of the European Union. This is what he wanted to set up. Yep. He wanted to mongrelise the European people and then put the Jews in charge. And that's pretty
and
much...
And then governed, of course, by the United Nations.
Yeah, well, they set the United Nations up first. I mean, first off, they had the League of Nations, where they would get together people from the different nations and have them deciding on what the other nations were going to be doing. So you'd have... you'd have people from France saying what the tax policy was going to be in Hungary, or you'd have people from China saying what the boundaries were going to be in Holland. You know, really daft things like that. So you'd never actually get anything done. Nobody that was actually a part of the nation actually had what they, you know, had themselves heard. It was just a way to confuse things, so that and while the confusion was going on, the Jews could get away with what they were doing on top. Right, and it looks like got the radio switched off. Luke, if you're there, I'm just going to unmute you now because I can see that the radio is switched off. Are you there, Luke? No, he's crashed Skype. Okay. Sorry, Dennis, what were you going to say then? Sorry.
No, sorry. No, what I was going to say, like, was actually, if you look at back at history, all this has happened before in Babylon, and all the breeding, mixed race breeding, and all the decadence, it's like the people in charge today are like the descendants of that particular crew, and I can see exactly what they're trying to build, an anti-God society full of decadence with no morals and no rules, based on Aleister Crowley, and they'll rule it.
Well, you can see that it's based on Babylon, because the actual tower that they have, the European Union building, is the same as the identical to the painting of the Tower of Babylon.
Correct.
The Tower of Babylon, I mean, that was the first multicultural society, and according to the biblical legend, you know, God hated that. That was not what was wanted. And in order to prevent the people from all blending together and becoming one race, he confounded the language so that everyone had different languages. Now, you don't have to believe that, you know, that actually happened, but what that's telling you is that it's wrong.
Yeah, but there was a tower. It's the fact that tower was built.
Yeah, there was a tower, the ziggurat, this big ziggurat that they built. Mm. You know, so you can see that was actually there. But you can see from that, you know, multiculturalism is wrong. You know, the flood was brought about because there was race mixing between the sons of God and the daughters of men. And then straight after the flood, you don't have to believe this is all factual, but this is just saying that this is a negative thing in the Bible. Straight after the flood, you've got the sons of Noah go out to colonize the rest of the world, and you've got this tower being built in Babylon, and you've got them all race mixing there, and they're even saying we want to make a name for ourselves. So they want to make a nation for themselves. Instead of one of the nations that God had created, instead of one of the races that God had created, they wanted to race mix and create a new one, a new name for themselves. So their language was confounded.
Yeah, you know, people think this is all new, this multiculturalism, but it's been tried before.
It's just a way to destroy a people. Now, I see it as the most evil thing that there is. I mean, it's just destroying the creation. It's destroying the natural creation. Whether you believe in God or not, you know, it's a destruction of the natural order and the natural way of things. To mix different races together like that is just pure destruction. It's just.
Well, isn't that what we talked about last week about the order of the Logos? How the Jews rebel at everything, and this is just a sample. But it will backfire on them, like I said. Like, you know, if they allow the Muslims to get in, then, you know, the first to go will be the homosexuals.
Oh yeah, it is. It's totally against order and totally against Logos. Right, I've got Luke on the line again. I'll just unmute him and see what he has to say. Are you there, Luke?
I'm here. Sorry about that. I must have had a technical problem.
Yeah, that's okay.
No problem.
Okay. I'd like to talk about what's going on in Australia. All these gay activists are trying to be all chummy with Muslims, and they're using Muslims to attack Christian activists. They're joining all the young Muslim groups and saying, this Christian activist against the Bendigo Mosque lives here. And you may have heard of a famous cartoonist in Australia called Larry Pickering, who spoke at the Reclaim rallies the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was subject, it was even covered by the Guardian newspaper, to a terrorist threat. And his speaking partner at the Reclaim rallies, Bernard Gaynor, had to move house because someone we covered on Daily Stormer, Gary Burns, found his address from the Election Commission and gave it out to all these Islamic jihad groups. And when I was trying to find Larry Pickering, I called up his namesake in the phone book in the Gold Coast, and they confirmed that there actually really was. I actually found out about the threat to kill him. That was before the newspapers, because I heard it straight from the horse's mouth from his namesakes living in the Gold Coast. It said that there was actually a police operation and they had to leave their own home for 3 days because of these extremists. He writes cartoons of Muhammad. That's why he's so hated by the Muslims.
Well, I mean, you know, the fact that they're trying to side with the Muslims, you know, short term, I couldn't believe it working short term, but definitely long term, that's going to backfire on them.
So you've actually got the queers joining up with the Muslims then, and then handing over, you know, the nationalists' addresses to the Muslims so that the Muslims can then go and attack them.
Yeah, that's correct. Bernard Gaynor had to move house. And if you look at Gary Burns' Facebook page, okay, you'll see he only has three likes on his public page, two Islam groups and Bernard Gaynor.
That's incredible. Yes, that's incredible. Seriously,
yeah, I actually did a joke. I cropped his picture with, on top of a head of a gay guy being thrown off the roof from a building in Syria, and said, you know, is this the kind of people you want to partner with? Some caption about that you shouldn't be using Muslims to try and threaten your Christian rivals.
Exactly. I don't know what angle they're coming from. I really don't.
Well, it does show that, you know, that we are facing a concerted attack from all of these groups. We are being attacked by all of them. They're all united against white people. So they seem to be forgetting the fact that the homosexuals they want to throw off the roof. So long as you know the homosexuals are against the white man, then they're prepared to support them. It really is us against, you know, the rest of the world. And we have to see it like that, I think. We have to see it as all these people are out there to get us, and we need to look after our own people. It's sad, but that's, you know, that's the way that it is. Essentially, you have to look after your own race first and look after your own people first, because that's what every other race and people is going to do. You know, that's just the way that it is.
Apart from these traitors of these elites, these white elites.
Well, a lot of these so-called white elites are really are really Jews, aren't they? That's the thing. I mean, a lot of these.
Well, a lot of them are, but there are some what aren't, and you know, I mean, I say it every week, don't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Start stringing the rope up on the lamppost. Well, this is a problem. A lot of the left side that are anti-Zionist or anti-Jew, they see the Jews as being white. You know, this is a large part of the problem, is people see these Jews as being white. They don't realise that the Jews themselves identify as non-white, and if they were more in tune with their racial differences, they would be able to see for themselves that the Jews aren't white. You know, but this is the problem that we have. They think that it's white people in Palestine, don't they? You know, I've often seen this, with the left.
Well, every time Bush comes on, he doesn't do any favours, does he?
Bush?
Well, I'm very worried about the Jews because my nemesis, Catherine Judith Burns, just went to the ICT anti-terrorism conference in Israel and admits that Mossad is giving New South Wales police advice on a daily basis in her interview in Israel, which I played on my radio show last week. Unbelievable. Well, I'm very worried about this person because I can put her in jail for malicious prosecution.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they've done that to the American police as well, because every time I see them coming out in force, they've got Israeli tight armoury, and it just looks like the Israel army against the Palestinians, whoever they're having to battle at the time. It's not a police force anymore, it's an army.
Well, it is. The Mossad or Israel are training up the police all over the world. You hear that they have links with Israel and they're being trained in Israel. And I was saying, one of the things that was just on the news today, Netanyahu has actually properly declared war, this is the wording, he's declared war on the children that were throwing stones at the Israeli army, and they're now going to use snipers and assault rifles, and not rubber bullets, you know, live ammo, they're just going to shoot at these kids, and they've also changed the law so that they can shoot at kids that are under the age of 10. So they can legally do it. I mean, this is the sort of
make it official. Yeah,
this is the mentality of the people that we're up against, and this is what's covered up. This is what the rest of the world don't see. That they seem to think that the Jews are the chosen people. You know, they are the enemy to
God is Satan.
Yeah, to all races, the enemy of God, you know, God and our people. You know, that's just the way that it is. You know, we've really got to.
Interesting times.
Well, they are, and we're sort of coming up near to the end of the program now. I don't know if Luke, would you want to add something here just before we finish?
Well, the thing is with Catherine Burns is she was involved in stage managing the Sydney siege, and she put out about 40 tweets when it happened on the New South Wales Police Twitter. And when she's having such a close relationship with Mossad, it makes you worry if something else is coming, because her trip to Israel wasn't covered like her trip to the NYPD to learn how to use PRISM was. So I'm very concerned what may be happening next in Australia. I'm just going to put that out there now, because this woman is something very special. I'm going to do a show and play a whole bunch of audio clips of me talking to her back in 2008. Matters to expose how much of a criminal she is. I mean, she accused me of this rare law for criticizing bloody gay police, and she's there in the gay newspapers saying, if you do gay sex, the normal police complaints procedure, you in England would think the IPCC, doesn't apply to you. Come directly to my office. You can bypass the whole police complaints procedure if you're gay, because you're special. And she wrote that story in We Are Not the Enemy, because some gay activists criticised a drug bust in the Sydney Mardi Gras, and the gays are known for being into drugs in a big way.
Well, they're constantly making special I keep forgetting my words today. they keep allowing the homosexuals to get away with, you know, whatever. They're a privileged
special circumstances
among us. Yeah, they're a privileged elite among us nowadays, aren't they? You know, if a homosexual calls in and says, you know, well, I'm homosexual and this has been done to me, then whatever it was that happened, the guy that's attacked them is going to get done twice as much. It's the same with all the privileged minorities, isn't it?
Hate crime stuff
that they have. But yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything here at the end, Dennis, let people know where they can find your work.
No, I'm just saying enough's enough now. Like, you know, they've had their way for some time now. Like I said, if people go to that website that I gave out earlier and take a look at that, make your own decisions up there. But it looks like, you know, some people are getting organised in the right way, of course, unless it's necessary. So, yeah, at least I could hear you pretty well this week, Sven.
Yeah, and I've heard you okay. So I'll say thank you very much for listening. Please do tune in again next time.